Last night at the Spanish Mass, I tried to give this homily by holding my notes in my hands walking around. That's why I'm here now. The good part was they never threw hymnals at me when it was over, so. But I thought maybe if I had the notes where I could read them more clearly, it would be helpful. And as I said last week in the homily, this year is the year of Mark, the Gospel of Mark. And yet, today and for four more Sundays, we're switching over to the Gospel of John. During these 5 weeks, we will be reading from chapter 6 of John's Gospel. That is an exceedingly important chapter in the Gospel of St. John. It's important because it is there that John develops his understanding of Jesus as the bread of life. It is there that he presents to us the teaching of Jesus, that unless you eat my body and drink my blood, you can have no life in you. It is really John's great teaching on the mystery and the gift of the Eucharist. One of the suggestions I would have is you might want to dig out your Bible and during these weeks ahead, read and reflect upon chapter 6 of John's Gospel. It's a very rich chapter. And I think it will help you to get more out of the masses in these weeks ahead if you've done some of your own private reading on that chapter. The chapter begins with the story we just heard, the story of the multiplication of the loaves and fish. It's the same story that we would have had we followed Mark's gospel. But John helps us to go into more depth into the story. If we look at the situation, it was one of those sort of impossible situations. Not unlike the situation that Moses found himself in the desert when he had a lot of people and he had no food. Jesus had a lot of people. And there was not food enough for them. And one gets the sense that maybe, because, you know, they talked about the 200 days' wages wouldn't be enough to buy the food. Maybe there was somewhere around one could buy food, but there was no one who had the money to do it. You know, none of us carry 200 days' wages in our pockets. So humanly speaking, there wasn't an easy resolution to it. Another thing we need to pick out from this gospel is that it was very close to the feast of the Passover. John throws that little detail in there for us, and probably did it for a very good reason. Remember, he's writing after the fact. And so John knows that it was at the Passover that Jesus said for the first time, "This is my body, this is my blood." And so as he tells us the story of the multiplication of the loaves, he wants us to relate that to Passover so that we'll have a sense that he's really talking to us about Eucharist. Even the very words that John uses in this reading are words that remind us of Eucharist. The verbs he uses. It says, he took, he gave, he distributed. The words are very much what we use at the Mass. Very much the words that Jesus used at the Last Supper. John wants this miracle of the multiplication of the loaves and the fishes. And John doesn't use the word miracle, he uses sign. And for him, sign is something that points to something much deeper than the surface reality. But he wants this sign to teach us that Jesus came to do more than just nourish our bodies. John wants us to know that Jesus came to nourish our very souls. He came to nourish us and give us life. Life that will never end. And he uses this story to begin to speak that message to us. Another little interesting fact of the gospel reading is that it was barley loaves. Now that may not mean very much to you and I. Don't think I've ever ate a barley loaf. But the barley loaves were the bread of the poor. It was the common food that the poor people ate. Yet Jesus uses this bread of the poor and he multiplies it. The other thing very interesting is the little bit. You know, five loaves of bread aren't very much for 5,000 people. And yet he takes what that little boy had to offer. And he does it, or uses it, to do extraordinary things. Takes that bread that is for poor people. And he multiplies it. And he feeds a multitude. You know, so often when I am celebrating Mass and I get to the offertory and I pick up the hosts and I say that prayer, "Blessed are you, Lord God of all creation. Through your goodness, we have this bread to offer." I think to myself, this is pretty poor. You know, this bread is pretty measly. And here I am offering it to the Lord. And then the wine. It's good enough wine, but there's not very much of it. It's not unlike those few loaves and few fish that Jesus had to multiply. And yet Jesus did extraordinary things with those bread and those fish. He does extraordinary things too with the bread and the wine that we have to offer. He takes what we give him and he transforms it. He makes it into his very self, his very life. And he gives it to us to nourish our souls. You know, when Moses made manna in the desert, that food is used for a journey. It was the food for the journey through the desert, a journey that we know took 40 years. When Jesus multiplied the loaves and the fish, it was food for their journey back to their homes. When Jesus gives us the gift of his body and blood, it is food for our journey to the kingdom of heaven. He gives it to us so that day in and day out, week in and week out, we can come to be nourished. We can come to receive his body, drink his blood, take his life within ourselves. And he can nourish us, transform us as we're on our way to that heavenly kingdom. But we offer not only bread and wine. When we gather for this Eucharist, what's even more important is that we offer ourselves. That we offer our labors, our sorrows, our joys, our disappointments, our struggles. That we take all of that and we offer it. And God takes that little bit that we offer to him, that little bit that's so often marked by our selfishness and our pride and our sin. But if we give it to him with sincere hearts and humble hearts, God can transform that and do great things with it, just as he transformed those loaves and those fish. God takes the little we have to offer, and he does wonderful things with it. Another important part of this story was those 12 baskets of fragments. As I read that this morning, I wonder, where did they get those baskets? You know, it doesn't seem like something they would have there, but that's really not the point. The point is the abundance of food. Jesus multiplied that food in abundance. And in Jewish thinking and mentality, when there was an abundance of food, that was a sign of the kingdom of God. Because in the kingdom of God, we will have everything we need in abundance. Doesn't Jesus give us his life in abundance? Doesn't he fill us with his life with the gift of the Eucharist? Doesn't he give to each of us what we are able to receive? And I say it that way because sometimes we're not as able to receive it as others. You know, if we don't come hungry for the bread of life, or if we don't come with humble hearts, if we don't come knowing our need for that life which is so much greater than our life, then he can't give us as much of himself, because there's not an emptiness within us to be filled. But when we come humble and hungry, when we come empty, empty of ourselves, then he can fill us with the gift of himself. Probably in the next several weeks, you're going to hear me referring a couple times to a book that I've read recently. The book is called He Leadeth Me. And it's a book written by an American priest who, during World War II, became a prisoner in the Soviet Union. He was in the Soviet Union for 23 years. Most of that time he was in prison. And some of the prison was labor camps. And he talks about much in that book celebrating the Eucharist, always doing it in hiding. But the point that really struck me for this morning was that they would take the hosts that they had, hosts that were always smuggled in, and they would break them into as small a pieces as possible so that they could share them with as many people as possible. And the point of that is, you know, even though the host we receive is very tiny, and maybe sometimes we receive just a little bitty piece of a host in case we run out, it doesn't really matter, because each time we receive the whole Christ. We receive the full life of Jesus our Savior. He gives himself each time to us fully and totally and completely, to the extent again that we are open to receive him. I want to switch over now to the second reading and close with that. Paul has a very important teaching here that relates well to Eucharist. He says, I urge you to live in a manner worthy of the call you have received. And then I'll skip a line or two. striving to preserve the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace, one body and one Spirit. As you were also called to one hope of your call, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all. Preserve the unity. The Eucharist is meant to unite us. We, though many, receive the one body. We, though many, drink from the one blood of Christ. If we are nourished at the one body and the one cup, are we not then being called to live in unity with one another? That should be the most powerful effect of the Eucharist within us, that it heals our divisions. It helps us let go of our resentments and our angers, our prejudices. It teaches us that though many races, many cultures, many languages, many ways of life, we are still one. We are one because we are one in Christ Jesus. One that came to us first in baptism. A oneness that is meant to be deepened each time we are nourished at the body and blood of our Savior, Jesus Christ.